be in Ephesians 4 this morning. We'll be looking at verses 14 through 16. The title of my message is Growing Up. I thought about, if I was more contentious, I guess it'd be Grow Up! Exclamation point. Growing up. And you know, if we have in care of a child, if we have children or watching after somebody's child, adopt a child, and that child is not growing, we have a concern, don't we? There's something wrong. We have a concern about that. And if that child grows too swiftly, if they're 5 years old and they're 6'5", something ain't right. Something's not right. And if they're upset all the time, you got a small child that just can't be consoled. It's always just upset and sorrowful and sad. Something ain't right. And if a child's happy 24/7, doesn't have no discernment of danger, doesn't have any cause for concern in anything, there's something to be concerned about. That's what we're going to look at today. Paul's used the Holy Spirit to teach us something about our spiritual growth and grace, how we grow. But we'll look there, begin in verse 8, Ephesians 4, 8. We'll begin in verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ gave these ascension gifts to his people. Whenever he ascended back to glory, he gave the apostles for us to write this New Testament. Gave us pastors, gave us teachers, preachers, to send his word forth to his people. Why did he give those? Why did he give those things? Verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. That's the building, the framing, the instructing, the caring. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Some people have said, not too far in the past, that God doesn't send any more preachers. That's over. They're normally looking at the apocalypse, that this is the end times or something, but God hasn't sent any more of his preachers. You know how I know the Lord's raising up his pastors and preachers and teachers? The sun came up this morning. How long is this going to happen? How long is he going to keep giving his ascension gifts to this world? Preach to his people. It says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until his last elect is called home. He will faithfully provide his ascension gifts to our generations. What are they going to do? How are they going to further this gospel? What are they going to preach? They're going to tell every man and woman of Christ's accomplished work. He honored his Father. He fulfilled the law and he saved his people. It wasn't an attempt. I try. God doesn't try. He does. It's to tell them how the Father chose a people that were at enmity with him. Undeserving, unable, just vile creatures. They were about to fall in the garden. And he knew that. And the Father said, these are going to be mine. I'm going to make them just like my Son. And he entered into that covenant with his Son, that he would be the surety for his people. He would be the substitute for his people. And that in this gospel age we're living in right now, all that has taken place. Did you know that? The Christ proclaimed all throughout the Old Testament. He has come and accomplished that which he was given to do. He said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. And he has. It is finished. He's accomplished. And he's risen and seated on his throne in glory. He ascended. He earned. He arose to His proper place, His throne and glory. And through these ascension gifts of that victorious Savior, we're told of this mighty and holy salvation that's of the Lord, of the holiness and righteousness of Christ alone. And the Holy Spirit makes this Christ, our Lord Jesus, revealed in our hearts. That's the first three chapters of Ephesians. As I said before, that's as plain as the nose on your face. It's in black and white. What will be the product of preaching the free and sovereign salvation in the grace of God through His Son's effectual blood? What will be the product of that? Look here in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Preachers sent of God are to preach the gospel in truth and in love. Teachers, Lord, gifts to teach His Word. They're sent of God to tell this glorious Savior in complete truth and in love. You parents, you friends, your loved ones, if you have Christ revealed in you and you speak to someone who has not yet believed on Christ, how are we to do that? We're to speak the truth that we've been had revealed in us, the truth that we know, and we're to do it in a spirit of love. Spirit of love. The sleight of man, the cunningness, the deception, all wind of doctrine blowing about, that tosses people. It does not unite them. That tosses them to and fro. It's against the Word of God. That's mankind's problem. Mankind does not, as of our natural flesh born of Adam, we don't believe God. We believe in God. Many people say they do, but the devils do that. They believe there's one God, and they tremble too. They have some fear. I've had people, and you may have too. I've had some people that you show them a scripture, and you say, right here's what the Lord says. This is His Word. Here's what it says. It's in black and white, and it's in English. We can read. And they say, I don't care what that says. I know what I believe. Isn't that horrible? And isn't that every one of us before the Lord does a work in our heart? To be given a heart that loves the Lord who first loved us. To believe the Christ that saved us. So right there's what it says, but I believe. The Lord has to bring us to that point. We bow to Him. That's not bowing, is it? There are many who say that they did not hear the gospel of Christ, our Lord, saving His people by the preaching of the gospel. They say they heard it under their own selves. They discovered it themselves. And they get mad about that. They get angry. I guess the Lord's Word doesn't apply to them, does it? Paul told us there in Romans 10, says, how shall they call upon Him who have not believed? And how shall they believe of Him who they not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how are they going to preach except they be sent? That's what that rich, wise Ethiopian eunuch was doing on his way back home, wasn't it? Reading Isaiah. And Philip come up and said, you know what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man show me? That's not something I get angry over. That's what the Lord says. That's not to be disputed and debated. That's to be declared. It's what He says. Or that they were saved under a false gospel. Listen to a gospel of a God that can't save and wants to and can't do anything unless you let Him, and nonsense. That's not God. That's not what the name means. He does all that He wants. He is God. He's capable and all-powerful and all-present. They say, well, I was saved then and now I came along to know the gospels, the doctrines of grace. And they get angry over the matter. That's the thing they get mad over. I've been asked, said, can God save someone under false preaching? Can He save them when they're listening to a lie being preached to them? The better question is, does He? does he? He told Jeremiah, he said, I didn't send them, and therefore, because I didn't send them. They're not preaching the truth of him and of man and of Christ that saves men. They shall not profit this people at all. Kevin, that's harsh. Saith the Lord. Ain't mad at me. Mad at him. Many say that the wind of doctrine, whatever's blowing down the street that day, that they're fighting for or they're fighting against, that's really what matters. This is what really matters. They got one spoke of the wheel, and they make that a saving position, not Christ. You have to believe this. No, that's not right. You must believe Christ. That's who you must believe. Christ our Lord. I've been called a heretic in my day, throughout my life, and that what I believe and what I preach is wrong and it's damning. But never has one of these people ever approached me in love. Do you know that? Not once. Only in anger, not in love. Only in aggression, not compassion. Only in demands, not in grace. Condemning me, not merciful to me. Impatient with me, not waiting on the Lord to correct His child. They didn't come with the truth of the Word. They didn't come in love, did they? That's a double whammy. They didn't come in truth, and it wasn't in love. These things do not grow the Lord's people. It bites and devours them. It doesn't promote unity. It promotes division. So how can we that know Christ, we that have been saved by His blood, we that look to Him and trust Him alone, how can we spread the gospel throughout this world? How are we to expose that crooked stick? The falsehoods, the heresies. How are we supposed to deal with that? He says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. What will the truth of God's Word, of His salvation, of His love, what will that produce? It will make us grow up in Christ in all things. What do we grow in? We grow in a lot of things, don't we? We grow in grace and knowledge. We grow in faith. We grow in love. We grow in humbleness and meekness. John wrote there in 1 John chapter 2. He said, to little children, I'm writing to little children, because your sins are forgiven for Christ's name's sake. Those that just have heard the gospel, John was writing to them. And he said, to young men, because you're strong. He's also writing to young men, little children, young men, and to fathers, for you have known Christ from the beginning. Why would John be, that's a good spread, isn't it? Children, young men, and fathers. We all start out as children, don't we? You know what I wanted more than anything whenever I was a kid? I wanted to be grown. I want to be a grown up. I wanted to make my own decisions. I wanted to be an adult, didn't I? That's all I wanted to be. I wanted to be grown. I didn't know what I wanted to be. I just knew that's what I wanted to be. And then we grow up a little bit, don't we? And we get strong. Get a little strength to us. We're in our 20-somethings. We have a little knowledge. We have a little strength. What we want to do? We want to wear a tight shirt and show it. We want to flex a little bit. Look what I know. And then when we're grown-ups, when we're fathers, when we're mature, that's what he's saying. We've been with Christ from the beginning of our salvation, and we see that He is what's important. He outweighs growth, though we will grow. He's more important than me grow. He outweighs the strength, because He is my strength. And we rest and mature in knowing that He has loved us and given Himself for us from the beginning of time. He's all that matters. That's what we grow into. Just getting stronger, more knowledge, more wisdom, getting more faith does not matter as much as seeing Christ more. We truly gain strength, we truly gain wisdom and faith looking to Him. That's right. That's the growth. Us growing up is us growing down, isn't it? Bowing to Christ, coming to His feet and praising Him for it, wanting to know more of Him. And a believer, if the Lord is glorified and pleased to let us have a long life on this earth, if He lets us grow in many years, we will grow in grace and in knowledge. We're going to grow in love. We're going to grow in faith and in patience. We're going to experience this. We're going to get some experience in these things, through these trials, these sins, and we're going to grow in hope. And through all that, we're going to grow in meekness. We have totes in our basement for Josiah. You know what's in those? Jared's old jeans. Why would I keep those? If he's alive, he's going to grow, isn't he? Henry used to say, if you can take a set of post hole diggers and dig a hole, and you can put a fence post in it, and he'll stay there for years and years, but it ain't going to grow, is it? You can dig the same hole and put a sapling in it, and that tree has life in it, and it's going to grow. There's going to be some growth that takes place. There's going to be a product taking place. We are made alive in Christ, and we grow in grace in Him. In what? In all things. In Him, in all things. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. First thing we'll look at, we're going to grow in grace. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll be there in verse 1. 1 Peter 2:1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And we see there, we see what Peter just did. Paul did the same thing, didn't he? He said all those evil things that he dealt with, those winds of doctrine, those things that toss us to and fro, Peter says, lay that aside. Get rid of it. Pay no mind to it. Lay it aside. Desire the milk of the Word. Desire the basics. Desire the basics. The simplicity of Christ. Our first love. Look to Him. And that way, doing that, now you may truly grow. And people say, well, I'm a father. I'm a great-great-grandpa in the gospel. I know a bunch. Been around a long time. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. You know what? As we age, we may be living off of liquids anyway. Do you know that? My nephew's in a car wreck, and for, I think, a year, almost a year, he had a feeding board. And he grew, and he healed off of liquid. That's what we need to do whenever we have all these winds of doctrine blowing around, and all these divisions, and all this. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Desire the simplicity of Christ. Look to Him. But this can only happen. How are we going to do that? This can only happen if we've tasted the grace of God. A man cannot grow in grace if grace has not been bestowed in him. Everything is given of God. Our lives are given to us. Our faith's given to us. Our knowledge is given to us. And He gets all the glory for it and the glory for the increase. Whatever He's given to us and any growth it has, He gets the glory for it. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, sometimes if you're sick, if you're ill, a T-bone steak, you don't want to eat it, do you? What do you want? If you're ill, a lot of times we're sick, don't know we're sick. That's a problem. What do you want? Chicken noodle soup, don't you? I want something soft. I want something easy to digest. How often am I infirmed? How often am I ill and think I'm healthy? But it says there in 2 Peter 3, verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He said, lay those divisions aside. Turn from it. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, both now and forever. Amen. He gets the glory for it. That growing in grace, it's not our doing, just like everything else. Just like our natural birth, just like our salvation, and just like our faith and our growth in grace, He gets the glory for it. One more, and we'll go to another point. Turn over to Psalm 92. Will we be grown in spite of ourselves? We're still living this wicked flesh, don't we? This flesh of sin still all around us. Is the Lord still going to grow us, though, because we're still in this body of death? In spite of our sinful flesh, we live in this earth. If the Lord does the work, we will. If the Lord does the work, we will. Psalm 92, beginning verse 11. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. I see the sin of others, and I see it in myself for wanting vengeance. Verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Who? Those that are disciplined? Those that water themselves? No. Look in verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Why? Why would the Lord do this? Why would He grow us and make us, our whole lives, bring forth His fruit, even into our old age? Verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. He's going to prove it to us. He says, prove your faith and prove His perfect will. We're not proving that to Him. He's proving it to us. He's showing us. Any growth we have is in Him. Our Redeemer said, if that tree does not produce fruit, it will be cut down. Who planted the fruit tree? He did. Who feeds it? He did. Who makes it to grow and bear fruit? He does. He does that, and He'll receive the glory for it. And what was that first fruit of the Spirit? Remember? The first fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. We're grown in grace. We're grown in love, too. He said in John 13, little children, yet a little while I'm with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. He's about to ascend. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. If ye have love. Turn over to 1 John 4. A loving heart and a gracious heart are in every believer that our Lord is loving and gracious to. God is love. We can't know how to love unless He's loved us first. We can't know anything about grace unless He's been gracious to us. We can't be merciful to others unless the Lord's been merciful to us. We're made to know this too. Made to know. Look here in 1 John 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Love will grow because it's of God. He is love. And it will grow because it is the fruit of His Spirit. Not the fruit of my spirit. Not the fruit of my hands. The work of my hands. It's the fruit of His Spirit in us. And it will grow because it's proof to you and I. It proves to us that we're born of God. Look here in verse 20. 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, you can go look at him. You can go hug him. You can go shake hands with him and say, I don't want to have nothing to do with them. I think what they're doing is wrong. I know better. They've done worse than me, and I'm going to correct them. Not in truth and not in love. That's not loving your brother, is it? He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Love will grow and it'll mature because the Spirit of God is working in His people. It's working in His people. And through the preaching of the truth and in a spirit of love, through truth and the spirit of love, knowing God who first loved us, we will grow in grace and we'll grow in love. We'll grow in both. So seeing this grace bestowed on us, seeing this love of God bestowed on His people, shed abroad in our hearts, knowing that we love our fellow heirs in Christ. We believe God, we love Him who first loved us, and we love our brethren, our brothers and sisters. Knowing that grace, knowing that love, now we're grown in peace and contentment. We're grown in peace. Paul wrote to that church at Philippi, he said, I don't speak in respect of want. I'm not talking about things I want. For I have learned, I've been grown, I've been matured in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He grew in contentment. Hebrew writer said, let your conversation be without covetous. Let it and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why? Why should we be so content? Because the Lord said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So that, be content with these things, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We have to be brought there. That's growing. That's growing in patience, growing in peace, looking to Christ the whole time. Knowing Christ will not forsake those he foreknew, those he loved before, and knowing he's always with us, we are content and at peace with whatever his perfect will brings us in providence. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. How am I going to learn that? How am I going to grow in that? It's going to hurt. There's going to be some trials in this flesh, isn't there? There's going to be some trials in his emotions. With some things, I don't know what the Lord's doing. He does. I don't have to know. That's why I didn't touch on that, but the sufficient grace. He told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. You know what that's also sufficient for? The understanding of the trial. I have no idea how the Lord's going to bless this. I don't have to. His grace is sufficient for my understanding of the trial. Just to trust Him, to be grown towards Him. He said in Matthew 6, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's what heathens seek. You're worried about yourself. You're worried about that mammon. That unrighteous mammon. Worldly riches. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Lord, save me from eternal damnation that I earned. You think He'll feed me till tomorrow? You think He'll keep me till tomorrow? Give me a little bit of bread and rice to make it through? I think He'll give me the water I need. I think He'll give me the bread. So finally, we grow in grace. We grow in love. We grow in peace. But we grow in humility. We grow in meekness. Solomon said in Proverbs 6, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination to Him. A proud look's the first thing, and a lying tongue. You ever had a proud look? You ever had a raised eyebrow at the will of God, what He's doing in and for His people? I don't know if I wouldn't have done that. I don't know why the Lord's letting this happen. That's a proud look, isn't it? I thought I did a little bit here and there. I thought, I'm a little bit prideful here. I'm a little bit prideful there. But you know, as I age, as I grow, as I mature, I see more and more of my just self-righteous pride. Not what I do. It's not my actions. It's who I am. This old flesh that wars inside of me. And I also see myself more low in the Word, in myself, and the Word of God more magnified. Solomon said, a proud look and a lying tongue. I don't try to justify that. Don't try to excuse it. Try to bow to the word of the Lord. How do I know when I'm lying? There's a lot of lawyer jokes could come up. How do I know if I'm lying? I said, well, I don't lie too much. Or it's only little white lies. What does our God say about a lying tongue? What saith the Scriptures about lying? He said in Matthew 5, but let your communications be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Have I ever answered a question more than yes or no? Well, then evil has had a wide berth to come out of my mouth that time. I want my thoughts and my opinions to be silenced and the Lord to be honored. I want a humble spirit. Let God be true and every man a liar. I don't want to just say that. I want to believe it. And know that I'm the liar. That's where He found me. Solomon also said there in Proverbs 16, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. It's a good thing to be humble. It's a good thing to be meek. We're grown in grace and love and peace. And do we see this more? As time goes on, as we walk with the Lord and look back a little bit. And we experience the humbling trial, and we see Christ from the trial. Do we see His glory more precious than ours? Do we see that He is faithful to be gracious to those that He has humbled? James reminded us of this text. He said, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble. He has to humble us. And people slam their fist down and say, but I know some things. You need to hear what I got to say. What did our Lord say? The meek shall inherit the earth. I'm back in our text here, and I'll wrap it up. As the Lord grows us in grace, He grows us in love and faith and peace, and He grows us in meekness, we're not tossed around to and fro like little children anymore, are we? Like a small child just carried away with the next word that comes. Ooh, what's that? Squirrel. Take off running. We're not carried around. We lay those arguments aside. We speak the truth to folks. And in the spirit of love, because that's the spirit that's come to us. Spirit of love. And that joins the hearts of His children. That joins the hearts of His local assemblies that He's gathered together. And that joins Christ's whole body, His whole church together. Look here in verse 14 again. Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. From Christ we're joined together. We're not scattered. Do you know that? Well, I'm over here by myself. We ain't scattered. We're joined together. Well, I disagree. God says He joins His people together. We are compacted. We are squeezed together by every member's love of Christ in Him. And this is according to the working of the measure of His grace, which is the fullness of His power and glory. And we're not going to be willing, we're not going to be lacking in any measure. We'll be willing in the day of His power. And He makes us to grow in grace, love, peace, and meekness. Each member of His body. If this hand was five times bigger than that hand whenever I was a teenager, well, we need to get that checked out, don't we? He grows us together, every member. And that's good for the whole of His body. It's for the edifying of itself. It's for the encouraging, the instructing, and the caring for of itself in love, in His love. I pray that we can remember Christ, who is our wisdom, when our wisdom is questioned. I pray that we can remember the Lord our righteousness when some strange wind of doctrine blows upon us. That He's our sanctification. That He's our redemption. And that we can love in truth and in love. In the spirit of truth and love. And tell those opposed to us the same thing, just as His Word tells us. In a patient, meek, humble spirit, in love, in peace, and in grace. Tell the truth. Tell it in love. I hope that's a blessing to you. Let's pray together.